And will you pray with me?
Wah, 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 mi, mi, ho. Wah, 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 like para. Wah, oh, wah, oh, wah, oh.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Almighty Spirit, come. Come, come, come. Amen. And he did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And his disciples believed in him. Oh, John. He makes it sound so simple. To be perfectly honest, I wasn't quite sure what I was doing there. I mean, when my brother came to me saying, "Simon, Simon, we found him, the anointed one, the Messiah." Well, I didn't expect to be rolling up to a wedding with the guy just a few days later, right? I mean, it's one thing to get a plus one to a wedding, but come on, a plus 12? Though, in those days, I guess I didn't quite know what to expect. There was this in the air, you know, you could feel it. Cut it with a knife. Tension over in the Capitol was bubbling up and boiling over, but you probably don't know what that feels like. No, none of us knew what to expect. But I tell you what, it sure wasn't that guy. Our people had been waiting for the Messiah for a really long time, like a really long time, as long as I can remember, waiting for the one who would vindicate us, make our salvation shine out like a torch. Yeah, I knew the scriptures. And every day a new one just seemed to pop up, making all these promises about how they would restore Israel to her former glory, overthrow Rome and root out corruption, and how they would make us shine like a beacon to the nations, our glory on display for all the kings to see. But you know what happened. Every day, they'd be squashed, put down, nixed, kaput. All those big and grandiose promises, and a lot of good it did them. So, yeah, when Andy first brought me to him, I have to admit I was skeptical. I mean, wouldn't you be? He was just a guy. Not all that impressive. Kinda scrawny, to be honest. Not all that loud or wild like that John guy Andy been hanging out with down by the Jordan. No. I thought, no way. No way was this guy the one our people had been waiting for. I'd seen Roman legions destroy vast and powerful foreign armies. This guy wouldn't stand a chance. And yet, as ordinary as he was, there was also something extraordinary about him as well. He wasn't all that different from you or me, but it was the way he looked at you, you know? The way he really looked at you. Like he knew you. Like he really, truly knew you, down to your soul. And then he spoke to me, called me by my name, like I mattered. Even gave me a new one, Cephas, Peter, the Rock. I can't quite put my finger on it, but in that moment, something came over me, and I went along not really knowing why. I guess faith is kind of like, as another great teacher would one day say, taking that first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. But I digress. You're here because you want to hear about that wedding. Well, we picked up some more folks along the way, but next thing I knew, there we were. This motley crew walking into a wedding that had suddenly gone
dry.
That just the worst. I mean, you plan for every possible contingency, anything that could possibly happen, when all of a sudden, bam, the wine stops flowing. Talk about a party foul. And you know, a lot of people like to give that steward a hard time on this one. He had one job, after all, managing the consumption of food and wine. Well, you see, around those parts and in those days, a wedding wasn't just a one-day affair, no. These festivities and the parties would go on and on and on, often for as long as 7 days. Because, hey, when you're living under the heel of an oppressive occupying power, sometimes you just need a reason to get down. And the steward had the unenviable task of making sure that the stores of food and wine lasted for the entire party. Yikes. And sure, we can talk and talk and talk about why the wine ran out. It's really easy to point fingers and play the blame game. But whether it was the steward's fault for mismanaging the wine, or the bridegroom's fault for not providing enough wine to begin with, or hey, even the guest's fault for drinking too much too fast, doesn't change one simple fact. The wine had run out. There was no longer any wine to go around. Now, typically, this would be the end of the party. You know, closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That kind of a deal. But if there's one thing I learned from hanging around him for 3 years, it's that just when you think you've reached the end of the story, there's always another chapter that's more beautiful and full of surprises than you could possibly imagine. The party continues. People always ask me, how did he do it? Was there a magic word he said, or a special prayer? Did he do something with his hands? But truth be told, I didn't actually see him do it. I was hanging out with another group at that time. I had caught him back-sassing his mother, being all, my time has not yet come, woman, and I didn't want to be around when he was catching her hands, if you know what I mean. No, thank you. No, I just saw the staff take those big jars out back for a little while, and then the next thing I knew, the steward and the groom were bickering about serving good wine when all the guests were already drunk. But the staff, they knew what was up. And one of them told me just what he had told them to do. Go fill up those purification jars with water and give some to the steward to taste, and you'll never believe it. But suddenly, all that water that just came from that well out back, all that water had turned into wine. Well, my head was spinning at that point, and I hadn't even had any of the wine yet. Here I was with this guy that I had barely known, even though he truly and deeply knew me, down to my soul. At this wedding, as one of his guests, just as the party is wrapping up, and suddenly he's taking these sacred vessels and using them to hold a lot of wine, like a lot of wine, nearly 200 gallons of the stuff. Do you have any idea of how long a party that much wine would sustain? Just keep going and going and going. And there it was, sitting in these giant vessels that we use to keep things ritually pure for our prayers and ceremonies. When you stop and think about it, it's kind of sacrilegious. At least that thought went through my head anyways. How many times had I let my firm grasp on tradition or my sense of religiosity get in the way of divine action and restoration? Because that's what it was, right? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when the one who plows will overtake the one who gathers, when the one who crushes grape will overtake the one who sows the seed. The mountains will drip with wine, and the hills will flow with it. Amos, yeah, like I said, I knew my scriptures. There was suddenly enough wine at this party for it to flow down all the hills. This was it. The divine promise of our people's restoration was standing there right in front of me. And he knew me by my name. And he did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Sure, I guess in the grand scheme of things, turning water into wine to keep a party going isn't quite on the same level as healing someone's child, or giving sight to someone who was born blind, or bringing back a friend to life, or even feeding a large crowd of people. But this one will always stick with me. This was the first one, the one where it all finally clicked. Andy was right. This guy really was the one we had been waiting for. The anointed one. The Messiah. The answer to all of our people's prayers. From that day on, well, my life would never be the same. Amen.